You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. Our guest is Joseph Heumeier. He is the executive director at the Center for a Secure Free Society. He is a veteran of the United States Marine Corps, serving combat tours in Iraq and Liberia, also spent time on various multinational operations in Latin America and the Caribbean, which has given him firsthand insight into the subjects we'll be talking about with him today. They're also the subject, among other things, of a book he co-authored with Dr. Ilan Berman titled Iran's Strategic Penetration of Latin America. Joseph, it's good to have you back. A happy new year to you, sir. Thank you so much for joining us.
Happy new year, Frank. It's always a pleasure and glad to be on.
You know, I'm convinced that either by virtue of the force of events or just by the character of the individuals that Donald Trump is bringing into his new administration, that we're likely to see intensified attention by the United States government at long last to some of the problems you've been warning about for many years, Joseph, and they include, of course, the nature of the Venezuelan regime. And there's been an important development on that front that I'd like you to talk about and how it might bear on other troubling developments in the region, which, again, you've also made a study.
No, you're correct, Frank, and I agree with your assessment. I think the incoming administration is going to have to deal with, and I think they're being prepared to deal with problems down south, particularly in Mexico and in Venezuela. Venezuela, if you know, for your listeners, I think the best way to encapsulate it, to kind of put a perspective on it, it's starting to form into like a Syria for the Western Hemisphere. A lot of the same conditions in terms of internal displacement, refugees, famine and hunger, and now they even have a new vice president who has Syrian roots, saying his bloodline runs through Syria. He's a Syrian-Lebanese individual named Tarek El-Assami. And only in Maduro's cabinet can you have a gentleman named Tarek El-Assami as your vice president in Venezuela. But he's a very concerning character, because he's an individual that I've looked at for many years, mostly when he was the Minister of Interior of that country. He was the Minister of Interior for 4 years, between 2008 and 2012. And that coincidentally was the same time there was a lot of activity on behalf of Iran, Hezbollah, and other Islamic extremists in Venezuela. Most notably, there was reports, and we did some work on this at the center. We have a paper published called Canada on Guard on this, which it deals with immigration security. But most notably, we looked at cases of Venezuelan identification documents being provided to Middle Easterners. So individuals from the Middle East will come into Venezuela and get essentially new identities. In some cases, they get passports. In other cases, they get visas. But the most worrisome of the cases is that some folks would get birth certificates. That completely fabricates who they are. And, you know, from an intelligence perspective, I mean, any case officer in the world, it's a dream come true, would love to have a real government, a national government, give them a complete concealment of their identity. Now, in this case, this is an intelligence. This is actually to help terrorists.
Joseph Heumeier, is it correct to say that under the Venezuelan constitution, if the opposition does succeed in removing Nicolas Maduro, which is far from certain by any means, but it's at least a possibility, that this fellow, the Syrian expat Assami, may well be the successor? And what might that portend?
No, correct. That's the case. If Maduro was to be ousted through a recall, which the Venezuelan opposition has been demanding over the last year, he would be the interim president until they could hold another election, which most likely would take it all the way to 2018. So this was a very strategic move on behalf of President Maduro and Venezuela. I think it put the opposition between a very hard choice. Essentially, pick your poison. You get Maduro, who's proven to be incompetent and corrupt, and all the others. But then you get, if he's gone, then you get Tarek El-Assami, potentially could be worse. It also provides them some level of immunity, because there's been a lot of rumors of U.S. authorities investigating his ties to drug trafficking and to terrorist groups. And if a potential indictment were to be snapped against Tarek El-Assami with the change of administration here in the U.S., this would protect him somewhat as well. So it served a dual purpose for Venezuela.
Let me ask you about a kind of, as I understand it, related question, and that is, what do we know about the individual who shot an American diplomat recently in Mexico? The circumstances of that evident assassination attempt are still unfolding, but what do we have on this guy, and what does it tell you about this larger context in which there really is a need for greater attention by the United States to what's happening south of our border?
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because it's really something that's not getting enough attention. This particular incident, for sure, but also just Mexico and the problems of Islamic extremists in Mexico, it really almost gets a silence from the press. You don't see it reported very many places. What we know about this specific incident was a consular officer in Guadalajara was almost assassinated, and it almost looked like by a marksman, by a professionally trained shooter, not somebody that just, you know, bought a gun and shot it for the first time, but somebody that has been training and perhaps preparing and planning to kill this consular officer. Most interesting, it sounds like he comes, well, he's Indian of descent, but it sounds like he comes, and he's an American citizen, but it sounds like he comes from the Middle East. His name is Zafar Zia, and for what I understand, he has a Muslim, he's Muslim, and he has an Islamic background, and perhaps could have some ties to jihadist elements in the Middle East. We don't know that for certain, at least I don't know that for certain. But what's interesting is that in Mexico, there's been an uptick of what they call, other than Mexico's OTMs, that have been surging through from central Mexico all the way up to the northern states into the U.S. Illegally. This becomes such a problem that the State Department, along with the Defense Department and obviously Homeland Security, have started working to look at to see where these networks are coming from and what countries these individuals are coming from. And they determined that at least a portion of them, I think it's about 30% or so, have come from what they call terror-designated countries. And so they classify these individuals as special interest aliens because they have special characteristics that aren't characteristics of the regular migration flows that go through Mexico. If you look at that network of how those special interest aliens travel throughout Latin America, it leads you to Venezuela. A lot of the, what we were just speaking about, a lot of the individuals that came from the Middle East since going all the way back to 2008 that got their identities changed, or some maybe didn't get their identities changed and just funneled through, all that funneling of movement of individuals, of extremists, potential extremists and terrorists, could be nesting in Mexico and ready to surge at any time. And that's something we've got to pay attention to, because really nobody in Mexico is really giving it the time of day.
Yeah, this has been, unfortunately, the norm, not just under the Obama administration, of course, but under its predecessors as well. I'm taking heart, as I'm sure you are, as a former Marine and a man who cares very much about this region and knows intimately the challenges facing it and us from it, is the appointment by Donald Trump of John Kelly to be the new Homeland Security Secretary, with his distinguished background both in the military in general, but specifically as the Southern Command commander. I've got to believe that he's going to be bringing a higher degree of insistence to attend to this problem than have his predecessors. Would you agree?
No, absolutely. General Kelly, not only will he bring insistence, I think he'll bring a good insight, because as Southcom commander, he was actually making the argument that these migrant outflows that were coming all through, he was focused on Central America, but these migrant outflows that were coming up north, that they were irregular. If we look at back in 2013, you have the unaccompanied minors. In 2015, you have the Cubans that were going all the way down south to Costa Rica and coming up. You have all these irregular migrant flows that really just surged for periods. There was ebbs and flows, but you see surges at awkward times, and then it would go back down. And I think General Kelly was on top of that, and he wanted more resources to analyze and understand if that had to do at all with terrorist networks.
I'm sure it does. Joseph Heumeier, we're going to need to talk to you a lot about this in 2017. I hope you'll join us regularly, and thank you for your visit today and for the great work you do at the Center for a Secure, Free Society. Come back to us again very soon. Next up, Michael Cutler will join us. Straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.